the Raptor down investigation continues. An Iranian national is charged in a U.S. aircraft export scheme. And historic financing sends 787s to Poland. This is Aero News for Tuesday, November the 20th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. The Air Force says safety is job one as the investigation into a downed F-22 Raptor near Florida's Tyndall Air Force Base continues. The jet went down last Thursday, sparking a ground fire just a quarter mile away from the base's drone runway. The pilot was conducting a routine training exercise and ejected safely. Despite media speculation to the contrary, there are no indications that point to the life support system leading to this incident or playing any role in the crash. A thorough investigation is being conducted in accordance with standard Air Force and Department of Defense policy. Securing the crash site and the related safety of the first responders are top priority, says the Air Force. Most modern aircraft are made of composite fibers, which can create health concerns for people on the scene when the plane catches fire. Throughout the initial and continued responses, all personnel have worn the appropriate protective gear and will continue to do so until the immediate site of the crash is deemed safe. An Iranian national has been charged in a plot to illegally ship military-grade U.S. aircraft parts to the Islamic Republic of Iran. The plot was thwarted by the U.S. government. A grand jury in the Southern District of New York returned a 6-count indictment charging Alireza Moazami Gadarzi, an Iranian national, with various offenses related to a scheme to illegally export military and civilian aircraft parts from the United States to Iran. According to the allegations contained in the indictment, Gadarzi contacted a United States supplier seeking to buy certain civilian aircraft parts for shipment to Iran and, as an incentive, offered to pay more than market value because of the embargo on sending these parts to Iran. Those purchases included rotor blades for a particular model of attack helicopter and, most recently, jet engine parts listed on the United States munitions list, a list of defense articles that cannot be legally exported from the U.S. without a license from the State Department. The indictment charges Gadarzi with 1 count of conspiring to violate the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, 1 count of conspiring to violate the Arms Export Control Act, 1 count of attempting to violate the Arms Export Control Act, 1 count of conspiring to commit money laundering, and 2 counts of money laundering. The count alleging a conspiracy to violate the Arms Export Control Act carries a maximum sentence of just 5 years in prison, but each of the other counts carries a maximum sentence of 20 years in prison. Gadarzi, age 28, was arrested in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, by Malaysian authorities on October the 24th, pursuant to a provisional arrest warrant. He is currently in Malaysian custody, pending extradition proceedings. The board of the Export-Import Bank of the United States has authorized a comprehensive guarantee of an approximately $500 million loan to LOT Airlines for the export of a fleet of Boeing 787 Dreamliner aircraft to Poland. Apple Bank for Savings of New York extended the loan. Boeing delivered the first Dreamliner to LOT on Friday, November the 9th, in Everett, Washington. The Dreamliner departed Seattle Thursday and arrived in Warsaw on Friday. Ex-Im's bank financing will support approximately 2,500 U.S. jobs, according to bank estimates derived from Departments of Commerce and Labor data and methodology. Founded in 1928, LOT became the first airline in Central and Eastern Europe to operate American-manufactured aircraft. It is also the only airline that currently offers nonstop flights between the U.S. and Poland. LOT will be the first European airline to operate the Dreamliner, as it was also the first European airline to operate the Boeing 767. A well-known forensic scientist in Australia was fatally injured Thursday when the seaplane he was flying went down as he was returning from the far northern part of the state of Queensland. Ross Vining was the only person on board the Sea Ray amphibian airplane that he had built himself when it went down. He had led a group of 5 aircraft from the state of South Australia to the far north of Queensland to view Wednesday's solar eclipse. He was beginning his journey home when the aircraft went down, according to a report appearing in The Australian. Professor Vining had been an active member of the Seaplane Pilots Association of Australia, serving as its South Australian coordinator. He had reportedly begun flying seaplanes about 6 years ago. When Aero News continues, back home on terra firma. A Texas jury defies the NTSB, and by the rocket's red glare.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now for Tuesday, November the 20th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Three members of the Expedition 33 crew undocked from the International Space Station and returned safely to Earth on Sunday, wrapping up a mission lasting more than 4 months. Expedition 33 Commander Sunita Williams of NASA, Flight Engineer Akihiko Hoshida of the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, and Russian Soyuz commander Yuri Malenchenko landed north of Arkalyk, Kazakhstan. The trio arrived at the station on July 17th and spent 127 days in space, 125 of which were aboard the orbiting laboratory. This was the first pre-dawn landing in darkness for a station crew since April the 9th of 2006, when Expedition 12 crew members were returned to Earth. NASA astronaut Kevin Ford is now in command of the space station. He and two Russian cosmonauts will be joined by another crew of three in about a month. There's a long-running joke in the news reporting business that one should never let the facts stand in the way of a good story. Unfortunately, that seems to have been the case in a Texas trial where the jury, despite specific NTSB findings to the contrary, has decided that a defective flight control component caused the fatal crash of a U.S. Customs and Border Protection Eurocopter AS-350B3 helicopter on May 22nd of 2007. The case was brought against Eurocopter and Goodrich by the widow of the pilot killed in the accident. According to a press release, her attorneys, Dallas area aviation attorney John Kettles and El Paso attorney Enrique Marino, asserted that, quote, a manufacturing defect in a flight control servo made the aircraft uncontrollable and caused the crash during a routine border security mission, end quote. Defendants Eurocopter and Goodrich contended that the accident was caused by the pilot entering vortex ring state, the same as the NTSB, which found the probable cause for the accident to have been, quote, the pilot's encounter with a vortex ring state and his inability to maintain control of the helicopter, end quote. The NTSB further reports that, quote, a fully developed vortex ring state is characterized by an unstable condition where the helicopter experiences uncommanded pitch and roll oscillations, has little or no cyclic authority, and achieves a descent rate which, if allowed to continue, may approach 6,000 feet per minute, end quote. But the Texas jury, in finding for the plaintiff, seemed to think that they knew better, despite the considerable technical and investigative expertise of the NTSB. Organizers of the NASA student launch projects have announced the 57 student teams whose inventive creations will be launched in April during the space agency's 2012 and 13 Rocketry Challenge. Representing schools in 26 states around the country, participating teams each will design and build a large, high-powered rocket, complete with a working science or engineering payload and capable of flying to the target altitude of 1 mile high. NASA created the Rocketry Challenge to encourage young people to pursue careers in the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics fields. Building the powerful rockets and designing and integrating the onboard engineering or science payloads are only two parts of the challenge. Teams also must maintain detailed preliminary and post-launch reports and build and regularly update a public website to document their rocket-building experience. Each team will also develop an educational engagement program to inspire and educate younger students in their local school system and community. 21 middle school and high school teams will take part in the Student Launch Initiative, which is non-competitive. 36 college and university teams will compete in the University Student Launch Initiative with a $5,000 first prize awarded by ATK Aerospace Group of Salt Lake City going to the winner. The culmination of their work is set for April 21, 2013, when the students launch their creations one by one into the skies over northern Alabama. Let's just hope that on that day in April, before all of these launches begin, someone reminds the citizens of Huntsville that this is only a contest. If this were a real emergency, you would be directed to tune to an emergency broadcast channel in your area. Well, you get the idea. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.